It's Thursday, time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. And on his mind this week is a retooling of Michigan's auto industry.
Today, there's a conference in Ann Arbor where business leaders from Michigan, the collection of CEOs from around the state, are putting forth another piece of their Michigan turnaround strategy in which they're focusing on mobility, which is kind of a technical term, but really important here. And essentially, their argument is that the growth in the auto industry going forward is really going to be in R&D and kind of the brains of the business. And we're already seeing here in Detroit that a lot of the growth in jobs is coming on the R&D and white-collar side of the business. And their argument is that there's a real global competition to become kind of the global center for expertise on this. You've got Silicon Valley where there's a lot of intellectual capital. You've got areas in Japan around Tokyo that have a lot of government support for this kind of research. And, of course, you have Bavaria in southeast Germany, home of Munich and BMW and Audi and places like that.
Sure.
Is a real engineering hotbed and produces, you know, about 1,200 engineering graduates a year compared to powertrain graduates compared to about 500 a year in the state of Michigan.
So it strikes me that this is not dad's or grandpa's auto industry.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, and I think that's really, really part of the argument. I mean, you know, we've got companies now that are building more cars and trucks with fewer people than they ever have in the history of the industry. And that's only going to continue as we go forward. But these vehicles, as everybody knows who's gotten into one in the last couple of years, they are technology on wheels. They are probably one of the greatest integrators of Silicon Valley technology of any industry in the world.
So what are the business leaders saying needs to happen here in Michigan to get the edge on this competition in Germany and California and Japan?
Well, I think it's a multi-pronged strategy. I mean, they're looking at number one, they want to really brand and market what Michigan does and what it can do. Two, I think there's a belief that education needs to get more in the game here and be able to produce the kinds of graduates that are demanded, not just by, and this isn't just a big three kind of thing. It's not just GM, Ford, and Chrysler. You know, Toyota's got a huge technical center in Ann Arbor. Hyundai is in Superior Township near Ann Arbor. Nissan is here.
And then there's the supply side.
There's the supply side, which is very formidable here.
Yeah.
I think what you have, one of the biggest downsides is you have so much capability here that I think one of the fears is it's going to be a little more difficult to kind of essentially herd the cats. Whereas in Germany and Japan, there's a little bit more of a business government culture where they work together. So I think there's a belief that that will be a little easier to do. And then certainly other states in the United States, like let's say South Carolina or Alabama, where you've got some expertise, they're much smaller. And I think the belief is they'll be able to kind of get their people together and focus on the same things. The question here is, can the state of Michigan, can the business community, can the auto companies and the auto suppliers really all agree to move in the same direction to really show their expertise and to attract more people to come here?
Does this sound like the continued call that we've heard from Governor Snyder and others for institutions, schools and colleges, turn out more STEM graduates?
I think so, yeah, and to recognize that there is opportunity here. I think one of the misnomers is there's a belief that there is an opportunity here in Michigan, and I think post-meltdown, it's pretty clear that there is, and there's a real mismatch between the jobs that are open out there. The numbers range from, you know, somewhere between 70 to 90,000 jobs that are going unfilled because the people coming out of the schools here maybe don't have the skills, and people on the outside overlook Michigan because they believe it's still a basket case.
Well, let's switch to some other big auto news this week. I'd like to get your thoughts on the new leadership at General Motors.
Very interesting. You know, I wrote in a piece yesterday, it strikes me that the board of General Motors is pursuing a best available athlete strategy here. You know, Dan Ackerson is leaving a little abruptly because his wife has been diagnosed with advanced stage cancer.
Right.
So they've accelerated the succession plan by about 6 to 9 months, I think is a fair way to put it. And Mary Barra will be the new CEO, and she's getting in, I think, She's got a very interesting background, but she gets a lot of plaudits for being able to get people to work together, being very smart, has been very successful as the head of global product development for the last 2 or 3 years. Dan Ammon, who is a Kiwi by birth, worked on Wall Street, has some international experience, and has been a GM for a couple, 3-4 years, will be president and will also be in charge and overseeing not only the regions but the financials. And Mark Royce, a good old Detroiter whose dad was a president of GM back in the early 90s, will be the global product guy, and I think he's clearly the heart and soul of product for General Motors today. And that's, I think a lot of people believe that this is a team that makes sense, where they're playing to their strengths. The CFO has real credibility on Wall Street, and coming out of the meltdown and government ownership, I think that's very important to show that they will continue to have fiscal discipline and they won't, lapse back into some of the bad old habits. I think people should look at this as very encouraging, particularly here in Southeast Michigan. And I don't mean to sound parochial, but you've got two of the three of those people are Detroiters, and they are GM veterans who survived a very harrowing and difficult time, both the bankruptcy itself, but also the aftermath, where you had a lot of outsiders coming in, and there were a lot of people that were cleaned out and left General Motors in that period. And these two, Mary Barr and Mark Royce, prospered in that and are now going to be leading the company. And they're all young. I mean, the oldest one of these people is 51 years old.
So they could really be there for a long time. It sounds like they're the right team for the post-government Motors GM.
I think they are, based upon what I know. Mary is a very down-to-earth person. She's very easy to talk to, but I think she's also very smart and really cuts to the issues pretty quickly.
Boy, and just an aside note, her whole story is proof. Never underestimate the importance of that student internship.
You got that right.
Considering what was it, 1980, and it was a student co-op job.
Yeah, I mean, she's the bio numbers is she's 51 and has worked there for 33 years, which even a journalist like me can do the math and say that means she started when she was 18.
Yes.
She worked herself. She managed a plant. She headed manufacturing engineering. She headed HR for a while. She was responsible for kind of abolishing the suit and tie dress code that was kind of de rigueur in General Motors forever.
Mm-hmm.
She brings a real interesting sensibility to things. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the outside and investors and even some of the peer CEOs react to this whole thing. The other person we haven't talked about that I think is critical here is Steve Gursky, who was the vice chairman and was really Ackerson's right-hand man through the last 3 or 4 years. Steve is leaving the company, will remain an advisor, but will remain on the board of directors, which I think is very important. Again, it sends a signal to Wall Street and sends a signal to the United Auto Workers, because he was their board member that they had appointed him coming out of the bankruptcy. So, I think people should be very optimistic about this. They're on a roll. I think the real test is going to be whether they're going to be able to continue to stay on that role, and will they be able to manage some of the trouble spots they have in other parts of the world, chiefly Europe and Opel, which is going to remain a challenge. And Dan Ammon and Mary Barra were on the board at Opel, and I suspect one or two of them will stay on the board. I doubt that Mary, as the CEO, will stay on that board seat, but we'll have to wait and see.
And then maybe just a few thoughts of yours on what Dan Ackerson's tenure at General Motors has meant to the company.
I always feel like I am in the minority about Dan Ackerson. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's done a lot of good things. He's a very plain-spoken guy. I think a lot of people covering the industry and in the industry here in town don't particularly appreciate some of his straight shooting comments, like referring to Lincoln and saying they need to sprinkle holy water on it, which I think a lot of people would agree with. They just wouldn't want to say it publicly. I think he's brought a discipline and an outside eye, and that is very important, and it's not dissimilar to what Al Mulally has done at Ford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alan's phrase is, you guys have been going out of business for 25 years here, which was unpopular, but it was true.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Ackerson likewise brought some of that. And I was just reading something that was attributed to him where he said, if you don't attack your business model, somebody else will.
Hmm.
And meaning if you don't look for the weaknesses of where you're vulnerable, someone will find them. And before you can do anything about it, you're going to have some real problems. he was the kind of person that asked those questions. He also had an impact, I think, on personnel. They had a lot of issues where they would, people that weren't performing, they would move them aside, but they'd keep them employed, and it really had a real problem for people that were ambitious and wanted to move up and do the right thing. So he's basically brought a real much more of a culture of performance, which I think is probably a good thing for not only the company, but for the region and the industry.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. It's always a pleasure, Daniel. Thank you so much.
Thanks a bunch.